I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life. Happy day, happy new year. Welcome to Dare to Dream. I am Debbie Dashinger, and this show was created to inspire you to take steps towards your dreams and turn any of your goals and targets into a reality. A little bit later, I've got an amazing guest on who's going to be talking about just that. Ain't afraid, throwing it down. Yep, Shu Tiscott is here. He's my guest today, and he is the Earth Guardians Youth Director, a 17-year-old indigenous climate activist, hip-hop artist, and powerful voice on the front lines of a global youth-led environmental movement. Shu Tiscott Martinez will be on later on Dare to Dream, and you don't want to miss it. So welcome, welcome to your new day, your new life, right? Another day to make a choice about how you're going to be here. I just have a few ideas for you to reflect on today. You know, rejection is God's protection. So if you have been rejected by somebody or a situation or a circumstance, know that God is just protecting you. And honey, when you stop pleasing people, people aren't pleased. So remember that too. You know, every momentous exploration, pivotal social movement, ingenious invention, and soul-stirring journey began because someone asked a question, how can we change things? Where does this lead? What's possible? What's next? In mind, heart, and spirit, human beings are compelled to seek answers. And the year that lies ahead gives us a remarkable opportunity. What are you going to do with that opportunity? We may be living in uncertain times. We hear it, we see it all the time. But uncertainty also contains possibility. Uncertainty contains possibility, and that's where great discoveries begin, whether we want to change the world or change ourselves. So what if, instead of fearing the unknown, we can embrace the incredible adventure of trying to find out? What if we could set aside judging, think less about what we know and more about what we can learn? I want to just offer you the spirit of discovery. Let's all make this the year of big questions, questions about our highest purpose, our deepest truths, how we can find peace, and how we can do better and love more. Let's make this a celebration of what it means to question everything, to examine our lives and challenge our assumptions, awaken to everyday miracles. Like when you wake up first thing in the morning, what are your first thoughts before your feet hit the ground? It's a miracle if you opened your eyes and you took another breath today and you got another chance. So explore the mysteries and say to the person across the table, can you help me understand? A more meaningful existence is yours for the asking, so I invite you to consider this. What if a question could change your life? And what if asking it today could start that life change right now? Well, when we come back, Shu Tiscott is here to talk about his message and his wisdom that the world needs to hear today. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/DebsWineWonders.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. The Earth Guardians Youth Director Shuz Tikat is a 17-year-old whose work has been featured on PBS, Showtime, National Geographic, Rolling Stones, Upworthy, The Guardian, Vogue, Bill Maher, The Daily Show, Skavlar, CNN, MSNBC, HBO, Vice, and much more. He received the 2013 United States Community Service Award from President Obama and was the youngest of 24 national changemakers chosen to serve on the President's Youth Council. He's the recipient of the Peace First Prize, recipient of the Nickelodeon Halo Award, the Captain Planet Award, the Children's Climate Prize in Sweden, and the 2017 Univision Premios Agente de Cambio Award. Shuz Tikat, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you here.
How are you doing? Glad they could be here.
Great. I'm looking forward to our conversation on your mission as a global spokesperson, hip-hop artist, and activist. So let's start here. Early age of six, Shuz Tikat, you began speaking around the world from the United Nations Summit in Rio de Janeiro to addressing the General Assembly at the United Nations in New York. What happened for you at the age of six or before then that caused you to speak around the world?
It was definitely something. People ask me this question often, like, where did it come from? Where was the inspiration? Why did you get involved so young? I don't really think it was one specific event. I think it just had a lot to do with the way that I was raised. You know, my father being Mexica from Mexico City, indigenous to Mexico City, I grew up very kind of very rooted in my traditions personally. And I think that really had an impact on the way I was growing up, the way that I saw the world, the way I kind of identified myself as an indigenous person. And, you know, from a very young age, learning about how connected and sacred the earth is and the connections that we all have to one another, you know, that really, I think, affected my perspective on my responsibility to help protect the planet. And then my mom being, you know, very involved in the activist community, my older siblings being involved in activism, like, it was very kind of almost automatic for me to kind of continue what had been going on for a long time.
Okay. So tell me what is going on in the world that outrages you. If we've buried our heads in the sand, what's happening to the planet and the people that you want to tell us about that we must learn about?
I think people know. I don't think it's at this point there are few people that don't know to a certain extent like what's going on. You know, we understand that climate change is a very serious issue, I think part of what's missing is the story and the connection to these issues and the urgency. People get the sea levels rising. People get the polar bears are dying. The species are going extinct. That more increased storms and, you know, changing weather patterns are beginning to take over the globe. But I don't think people really understand the human connection to it, and people don't understand the urgency. Those are two things that I want to stress. You know, first of all, like, when it comes to the stories, this is more than just an environmental issue. I think one of the biggest mistakes we can make is categorize climate change as an environmental problem or as like a political issue, you know, because it separates people and it disconnects people from being able to get involved or participate in doing something about it when it's solely kind of under a certain category. So I really believe that we have to recognize the human connection that we have to this issue, looking at the millions of people all over the world whose lives are in danger because of this crisis, from, you know, families and communities in Puerto Rico who are still struggling to find electricity and to, you know, have access to clean water and food for their communities, to people in across the United States that suffered from wildfires in California and hurricanes in the Gulf Coast. Like, there's more and more of these different things that are happening, which are really blatantly showing us that this isn't just about carbon in the atmosphere and burning fossil fuels. This is really about people's lives, human rights issue. You know, if we look at really important systems of oppression within our country, such as, you know, white supremacy, patriarchy, capitalism, like, we find the root of these issues behind those things. You know, so if we look at like the demographic of people that are most affected by climate change, that's poor people of color, you know, and indigenous communities, you know, so it's much more connected and it's much deeper than just an environmental problem. I think that's what I want people to understand. That, I mean, I could, you know, talk about the long running list of severe disasters that we saw throughout 2017, but I think more than anything, I want people to recognize that this is a human issue. This is about our children's future. This is about the world we live in today. This is about our planet, but also about our people. Like, and that's what translates for me and the reason that I'm involved. It's not just about protecting the earth or fighting for nature's rights. It's, you know, as a 17-year-old experiencing life, like, I've fallen in love with life. From the good food to the most amazing people, my friends, my family, the experiences, falling in love, like, all these different things that are beautiful about, like, our experience in life, that's what I'm fighting to protect, because I know that is in danger right now. Like, every aspect of our human lives, I think, is at stake. And that's what we got to fight to protect.
I'm curious when you say that. I once had a jewelry business, and I specifically created jewelry out of gemstones. And I remember feeling conflicted inside, because I know that the gems that I was creating the jewelry out of came from mines, and that mining was involved, and mining is a great disruptor of the Mother Earth. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on mining.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we look at resource extraction and exploitation, it comes to this kind of idea of excess. You know, we are taking much more than we need from the planet. And for some minerals and some things that we need from the earth, or some things that, you know, humanity is still dependent on, like, there are ways to extract more sustainably, less harmfully. I think just overall, like, if you look at the process of mining, whether it's for coal or diamonds or whatever, it's a very heavily industrialized process that damages communities. You know, if you look at specifically the human rights violations that happen around that, from communities across the world that are, you know, really face the worst of the extraction process, or, you know, even like, you know, old coal mining towns in Virginia, you know, and in Appalachia, like, those communities and those people were severely affected while these major corporations and this business is, you know, still in place. The same thing is, you know, if you had an emporium shop that sold, like, ivory, you know, from elephant tusks.
Right.
It's, I guess, the question of, like, how can we kind of revolutionize these industries so that, like, we don't need that anymore? Like, I think we can continue to, whether it's, like, craft or whether it's, like, our dependence on energy, I think we can do and express and share these things that we love without having to exploit and tear apart the planet. Finding alternatives is important.
I like the alternatives, yeah, and not to take an excess, like you're saying. But what about you? Are you still in school? Are you still in school while you do this work and travel, or is that off the ticket right now?
Yeah, not at an institution. I'm finishing up online right now.
And that's high school? Or are you are you an advanced college guy?
No, I'm just finishing up high school.
Got it. And so you're from an Aztec culture, And I know one of the things you're very passionate about are the disappearing cultures around the world. What is disappearing? Who is disappearing? What do we need to know about that?
I think one of the saddest concepts that was ever introduced to me is when my dad started talking to me about the extinction of a culture. And that came with, you know, education and knowledge that he gave me about our own language, you know, and the Nahuatl language, which is the traditional language of my ancestors, you know, how that is seldom spoken by anybody. You know, and so then I began to look at that at a larger scale with different things like resource extraction and in the same way that, you know, species will go extinct if their habitat is gone. Like, indigenous traditional communities will cease to be able to practice their culture and their ceremony if their traditional lands are taken away from them. So if we look worldwide, there are many, many indigenous cultures from, you know, across Africa to Australia to Central and South America to, you know, the South Pacific. You know, wherever you look, there are many people that are living in very traditional tribal ways that are actually losing their connection to their culture because of a quickly developing world that is now seeking and valuing technology, wealth, growth, development over connection to kind of traditional heritage. So that's something that I'm definitely very passionate about, and it's difficult to know what to do because the extinction of a culture like that's something that's so heavy. And I guess I like to contextualize it in places where I do have power, you know, such as fossil fuel extraction, like in indigenous communities in the Amazon, you know, that are at stake because of gold mining or oil extraction, you know, and looking at the ways that we can contribute and help to those projects and those movements to help keep those peoples alive, you know, and those ways of life. And the way that I see it, like, our culture is, like, such a beautiful thing is humanity, you know, and it's really diverse, and it's so much deeper than I think we understand. And I think protecting the diversity of our cultures is what will keep the world colorful, will keep humanity, you know, vibrant and more than just kind of like a secular one people.
Mm. And how are you keeping your Aztec culture alive? Do you still speak the original language, or what are you doing to get involved on that level?
Yeah, I mean, since I was a little kid, I've been involved in our ceremonies and our language or songs or dances, continuing to, you know, find time to make that a priority as well. So my dad said, too, like, if you don't learn this and if you don't teach this to your children, like, it'll die with our generation. Our culture can be lost in one generation like that if we don't teach it to our children. So it's been really important, a really huge passion to me, especially recently, to continue to pursue and learn and study and be more involved in kind of reclaiming and relearning the culture and the ceremony. And yeah, I mean, because of the colonization and the genocide and the oppression that has continued to be felt through today, there's been just, like, a lot of difficulty with maintaining that connection. And a lot of shame, too, and a lot of, you know, my great-grandma on my dad's side, she was ashamed to speak her traditional language because,
really?
You know, there was a lot of segregation and oppression against indigenous people in Mexico when she was a little girl. So she never taught her children how to speak Nahuatl. She speaks it fluently, but she never taught her children because she never wanted them to grow up with the same pain that she did of being discriminated against for being indigenous, you know. So it's really interesting how we now are at a point where reclaiming that is so important and so part of our identity. Even with the music that I make in the hip-hop, like incorporating words in my land of tongue, incorporating words in Spanish, like, you know, in lyrics and really talking about that part of my identity that is, you know, still trying to remain connected to where I come from.
Yeah, your music is great. I have listened to a considerable amount of it before you came on, researching you, and people can go to YouTube and, yeah, check out your hip-hop stuff from all around the world. And I'm so curious, there's still just two people, right? There's the other boy and the other girl who are in your hip-hop group. Are you related to the other boy?
Yeah, so that's my little brother. Probably all the videos that you saw are much older. Like, I was making a lot of content. We released an album in 2014. We released music videos. That's all much older. Like, my voice sounded different. Like, the music was different. Now I'm on a totally new wave with my art and, you know, working very, very deeply within the music industry and getting people to really pay attention to the music in a different way. So that was my little brother. We don't make music together anymore. He's doing his thing, going through he's a freshman in high school. And then my older sister, Issa, who still sings with me, actually. So, yeah, it's evolved and going a lot. So a lot of the stuff you might find out there is old, but 2018 is about to be, like, a massive year for my music, releasing several music videos, releasing an album in April, and continuing to use the music as like a really influential, powerful way to get people involved in the movement and share the message.
Excellent. You know, you say the journey we are on starts with healing ourselves. Love that. But what do you mean specifically? How can we engage in healing ourselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at trying to, like, protect the world or change the world or change anything about the world, even if it's, like, one facet of it, or heal any part of our community or our lineage or our ancestry, whether it's, like, guilt as a Caucasian person for, you know, things that your ancestors are responsible for or, you know, genocide that you inherited as an indigenous person. Like, healing, I think, at a larger scale has to begin with yourself, you know, and responsibility for action has to begin with yourself before you go out and carry it out into the world. And I think it's just recognizing how much power you have and how powerful it is when you reclaim yourself as, like, the first step to creating any kind of change or any kind of healing, you know. If you can really work on recognizing and fulfilling kind of your, or not even fulfilling anything, just like being recognizing that you're on a journey. You know, we're all on a journey, like of just learning and growth and discovery, and to fully kind of be held account, like hold yourself accountable for that, and recognize that you are just a really small piece of a really big world, and what you do actually still really matters. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it begins. I think anything that is external in the world has to begin from within, whether it's war and hatred or whether it's like uniting and positivity and celebration.
Time to be responsible. Well, while we go to a break, I'd love you to take us out, and if you would say something in your native Aztec language about the journey we are on starts with healing ourselves, translate that the best you can for us.
I do not have the knowledge to translate that into my language, unfortunately. It'll be a few years before I can on the spot translate things people ask me to.
What can you say for us? I'd love to hear it.
No yolo pakia ipanimitsita. Ki nimitsmotlasa kamachililia in tanatsintlalikwatliku in tatatanatiu. And that saying that my heart is happy to see the sun. And giving thanks for the sun and the earth and the sky and the water for giving us life.
Beautiful. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream. I'm interviewing Shoes Picot Martinez. You can find him at Earth Angels. You are an Earth Angel, sweetheart, at earthguardians.org, earthguardians.org. I want to start with your book that's out right now, We Rise. Tell me about it. What was behind writing We Rise?
We Rise is definitely a response to the world. It's very much a call to action, really looking at like how hectic the state of our country was, specifically looking at, you know, Trump just got elected. Lots of people were angry. Lots of people were very terrified of what was to happen. There was a lot of like anger and hatred, and I didn't see a whole lot of direction or like clarity as to where to go. And I saw a lot of people reaching out, but didn't really have the tools to get involved. So We Rise was written to give the people of the world the tools that they need to really understand what's going on in our world right now, using climate change as the main lens in which we view things, through this perspective of creating solutions and building off of the world that we want to see, the world that we want to pass on. What are we creating together? So every chapter has a call to action. It zooms in on really important issues like food justice, like the ocean, like species extinction. You know, and climate change has always kind of seen more as a lens rather than an issue because it's so broad. Indigenous rights and Standing Rock, and lots of interviews with incredible people from Mark Ruffalo, Shailene Woodley, and it's very exciting. There's a lot of really great momentum going with this book. I think it came at a really good time.
Good. Well, you're talking about confronting climate change head on. Is there an ultimate blueprint for taking action, for doing that? Is there an outline?
I think it's kind of a three-step thing. A lot of people always ask me, like, well, what can I go home and do right now? And I was like, well, there are so many lists out there that you can just look up for, like, easy little lifestyle changes. And that's, like, I don't think my time is best spent, like, trying to convince people to, you know, of what the best lifestyle steps are to take. But what I do know is that I think there are three parts. And the first is, like, the information. You have to be informed and educated about what's going on. And once you know about these issues and are excited and empowered about it, then it goes into personal action, personal responsibility. So once you're educated, you take responsibility for those issues and those solutions in your own lifestyle, with the way you eat, with the amount of waste you emit, with how often you drive your car, with choosing a plant-based diet rather than eating meat and dairy because of the sustainable impacts, or eating fair trade for human rights purposes, like whatever it is. And then once you're like taking that responsibility in a lifestyle sense, then it's your responsibility to carry it out into your community. And everybody's community is different, whether you're a yoga teacher or a Lyft driver or a hedge fund manager. Your community looks different. And that
means a radio host.
Or a radio host, exactly. And not everybody's job is to be an activist. That's one thing that people have to recognize. You don't have to be an activist to make a change. And it's not about being an activist. It's about bringing these ideas and this passion for building a better world into the lives you already live, so that everybody can feel like they have a part to play and everyone can be excited about contributing, you know? So it goes.
I like this. So let me go through this with you. So the first one, be informed and educated. What is the way you recommend we do that? I mean, is there a particular news station on television or cable or, you know, is it online? Is it through listening to particular people that you recommend who really have their finger and voice on the pulse?
Yeah, I've never had TV actually my whole life, so I've never watched TV. I think like there are some incredible environmental docs out there, and I'm going to recommend two that are like just the best I've seen in the last like 5-10 years of watching environmental documentaries. The first one is by a man named Luis Ojoya. It's called Racing Extinction. And it is like, it is not all doom and gloom. It is so like inspiring. And so, it like really connects you to the issues, and it's innovation. It looks at extinction and species collapse. It looks at climate change. It looks at like the solutions and where we're going from here. So Racing Extinction.
Extinction, right?
Yeah.
Is the documentary.
And the second one is Chasing Coral. And Chasing Coral was done by the same guy that did Chasing Ice, which was about climate change and ice cap melts. Mm-hmm. This one is looking at the climate impact on our oceans, specifically in our coral reef ecosystem. And this, like, even more than an environmental doc, it's like such a powerful story, you know, really powerful narrative of these people that just love the oceans. They're going out and exploring it and seeing the change that's happening. So those are the two environmental docs that I recommend, but also just like reading articles, you know, having conversations with people, just like talking to people with other perspectives, other ideas, other amounts of information. EcoWatch is a really great publication to look out for. They're an online magazine. EcoWatch. And, yeah, and again, the internet is really big, so Googling stuff is very easy. Definitely be careful of where you're getting your info, though. Always check it. Don't believe everything you read. But, yeah, we all have access to info.
Awesome. So those were two documentaries, Erasing Extinction and Chasing Coral, and also to check out getting your news and updates from EcoWatch.
Yeah.
And as far as personal action and responsibility, you mentioned us being aware and responsible, the ability to respond, right, to what we eat, our waste, the car we drive, choosing our diet, focusing on fair trade. And what are some ways that we can do that with ease and understand what might be best for us, our body, plus the environment all married together?
Definitely, I think our food choices, I mean, not just my opinion, but scientifically, our food choices are one of the biggest ways that we can help cut our carbon footprint. Three meals a day, that's three choices to make a better decision for our planet, for your bodies, for all animals out there, for indigenous communities. If we look at eating plant-based and eating less meat and dairy, that'll massively cut our carbon footprint because of how much of our forests are chopped and cleared to make space to graze cattle or to grow corn and soy to feed cattle, specifically in the Amazon. So if you stand in solidarity with indigenous communities in the Amazon, you know, you might consider transitioning to more plant-based, vegetarian, vegan diet. And it's not like it's got, like, cold turkey. Like, choose one day a week. That's, like, friends of mine that are, like, heavy meat eaters. Like, I challenge them to do, like, one day a week, eat plant-based. And a lot of people don't know recipes, so they're not trying
meatless
to
Mondays.
Like, yeah, meatless Mondays. Or, like, one meal a day. You know, that's a great one, too. Like, one meal every single day. It's like, fry up some veggies, you know, stay in the produce section, like, you know, cook yourself up a salad, you know, make some bomb curry or something. Like, there's all kinds of stuff you can do that is really delicious vegan food. I've been vegan for like 5 months, vegetarian my entire life, but like only vegan for the last 5 months, and it's taught me how to cook. Like, you know, I'm like about, my mom's like teasing me that I'm getting ready to get married because, you know, I'm learning all the tricks in the kitchen and such. Like, but yeah, so that's like I think the biggest way you can really, for your own personal health, for the health of the planet, your diet is huge. And don't do it from a place of, like, shaming other people. Like, if you're talking to other people about, like, veganism and stuff, don't be militant about it. It's all just about empowerment and compassion. You know, everybody's at a different place with their health. If you eat fast food every day, transition to, like, local and organic meats as much as possible. You know, and from there, it's just steps in the right direction or steps in a different direction, you know. I'm not going to tell you it's the right way. And everybody has a different, you know, they're at a different place. So it's all about empowerment and just recognizing that we do have to make some sacrifices in our lives for the better of the planet so future generations can exist.
Great. So the blueprint is be informed and educated, take personal action, take personal responsibility, and then carry it to your particular community in your indigenous way. And I just am so curious. You're so visible. I'm so impressed. These big global platforms that you, in my estimation, fearlessly use your voice. And you also use it through art, through microphones, through stages, through music, through books. How has this experience, this journey you've been on, impacted the way you see yourself?
That's huge. Definitely has affected, I guess, like, personal identity. One thing, too, is, like, I don't really feel media portrays me 100% accurately, which is interesting, you know, because I feel like the what I talk about when I'm on the news or I'm, you know, people writing articles about me is, like, just, like, a very kind of one portion of who I am. And, like, honestly, I guess I just see myself with a greater responsibility, and I have more to fulfill than I would if I wasn't doing all these things, you know? And so I really take that responsibility very seriously. But at the same time, I'm not a very serious person. Like, in reality, when I'm just like, even at events, like, even if you see me speak in public, like, a good percentage of the time, like, when the crowd's right, I'm going to be, like, cracking jokes. And, like, I don't know. I'm very much still a 17-year-old boy, you know, and that's, like, very healthy. So all this work has definitely forced me to kind of grow up really quick in a lot of ways, but also it's taught me that taking yourself too seriously is actually counterproductive. So I'm working on finding that balance. And there have been definitely times where the whole identity thing has been difficult because I didn't know if, like, am I defined by the work I do? You know, is this who I am? Like, the expectations that people have of me because of how I've presented myself to the public, like, how important is that and how much should I follow that? And so I've definitely questioned a lot of identity pieces in the past, but, like, I'm really in a strong place of, like, feeling really empowered with my voice and where I'm at. And more than anything, it's just taught me that, like, regardless of who the world wants you to be, like, continuing to come from a place of truth and honesty and authenticity is more important than ever. So the work that I do, my visibility, as much recognition I get, is teaching me that how important it is to be humble and how important it is to be authentic.
I got to ask you, so does fear ever come up for you?
Fear, for sure. And a lot of it is, like, fear of not accomplishing enough. You know, I'm very much a perfectionist. And for this work that I do, like, I'm scared it's not going to be good enough. I'm scared it's not going to be in time. I'm afraid that, so fear is definitely a factor, but it's also recognizing to channel that, you know, in the same way we channel rage and anger and pain.
Well, when we come back, we're going to be finding out more from Shu Tikhat Martinez about fracking, about his upcoming appearance at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo, so you want to stay there. And if you love wine, I love wine, I'm certified in wine, you can send wine as a gift. You can have it on hand for birthdays, holidays, any day. Order this worldwide high-end wine at below retail prices delivered to your door. Go to Direct Sellers, C-E-L-L-A-R-S, as in a wine cellar, directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Do you have a published book that never reached its bestseller potential? Are you working on a book or ebook you hope to publish soon? Do you have a book locked inside, waiting to release your message to the world? Go to mybestsellerbook.com. My Bestseller Book will launch your book to a guaranteed bestseller status. Learn more at mybestsellerbook.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you love wine? Do you enjoy drinking it or sharing it? Well, maybe you know a lot about wine, maybe you don't. Thanks for entrusting me with picking and choosing the most amazing wines from all over the world and delivering them to your home or business. You will receive as few or as many bottles of wine as you like, with tasting notes in your magical box of wine, detailing the regions, the history, and even food and wine pairing. We will deliver to you the best wine in the world. So get in, get wine, get social at directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Sit back and truly enjoy our wines, because we take great pride. We have invested a great deal of time selecting the most incredible wines from all over the world we know you'll enjoy and want to share. At directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/DebsWineWonders. Yum.
Welcome back. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm speaking with Shu Tezcat. You can find him at earthguardians.org. And you're going to be appearing at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. What can we expect from your presentation in the expo? Are you going to be singing? Or are you going to be talking? Tell me about it.
We have yet to see. Who knows what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. It's hopefully going to be inspiring and powerful. I'm going to speak a little bit, you know, talk about the projects, the endeavors this next year, call to action, really get people hopefully to get involved and on our feet with the Earth Guardian movement. And I'm also going to bring up music. You know, I'm going to get to perform some of my new content from my upcoming album. You might get a chance to play, newly released music video. But yeah, we're excited. I'm going to be out there with a bunch of friends and really sharing and participating in what sounds like it's going to be an amazing event and experience.
I'm telling you, it's off the hook. I can't wait to meet you there. It is the deal to be at every year. So very cool. And I really hope they'll play your music at some point, even just to introduce you, because it's very worthwhile. I really liked everything I heard.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited for y'all to hear the new stuff, too.
And you have, speaking of which, an album coming out called Break Free. Yes? What was that process like for you to do this album?
Oh, writing an album is so much, like, deeper than I could have imagined, you know? It's really a whole fat process of just, wow. Everything, like, just the creative process is just a tiny piece of it, you know? Because then there's a distribution and working with different people to promote it and working with management and PR teams. It's just very full. But, like, the creative process was absolutely inspiring and like, amazing. I'm finishing it, like, this next week in L.A. We're releasing it in April. And, yeah, it's been, like, over a year in the making. And it's been, like, a really powerful experience recognizing how needed these songs are for the world right now. We're in such a good place of needing art and music that will inspire and gather and unite people. I'm excited.
Your book, your album, where can people go to get that? Is that all at earthguardians.org or is that at your website?
Yeah, you can hit on my website, shutescott.org.
He said with a question.
It has been a minute since I've actually... No, shutescott.com. Yeah. Calvin LLC. So it's my first name, .com. And, you can also follow me on social media. That's a great way to stay up to everything that's going on. Facebook, Instagram. I tend to use Instagram more, actually. I don't tweet very often. But, to purchase the album when it comes out. Also, I have a single that's out right now that's on all streaming platforms called One Day. You can peep that anywhere from iTunes to Apple Music. So there's lots of different ways for you to get involved and keep up with what's going on. Anybody out in L.A., catch me at the Conscious Life Expo this Feb. It's going to be fun.
Meet them in person. Hear them in person. And I want to address a little bit here fracking. I know you have a lot of knowledge on the dangers of fracking, and you've had your own personal journey to stop it. What are some of the hidden impacts of fracking?
So fracking is really interesting because the industry treats it very much like the industry likes to treat fracking like it's a solution to climate change because it emits less CO2 in the process of extracting the natural gas and the oil. Fracking is a really dangerous process where they take millions of gallons of fresh clean water and mix it with toxic chemicals and sand and shoot it down into the ground miles beneath our feet at very high pressures to fracture shale and release natural gas and oil. For our communities and for people that live near fracking wells, we see really hectic increases in all kinds of health effects from, you know, cancers to respiratory diseases to disruption in the endocrine system and the reproductive system. Like kids, young people really getting sick, elders really getting sick because they're fracking right next to schools, they're fracking right next to elderly homes. The industry has done a really good job of kind of finding their way into every community that is very hidden, and at the same time, the impacts are so present. You can't see it. Like, you can't see the fumes that are coming off the fracking rigs, you know, and a lot of times you don't know until you're sick. You don't know until your family is sick. And it's in the water, it gets in the water, it gets in the air. You know, we have different instances where people have been killed because of explosions, because of, you know, different fault lines like gas lines and pipelines underneath the ground that have caused homes to explode and killed lots of people here in Colorado. So it's pretty hectic. And it's been a forefront of my attention because of how personally I feel connected to it. You know, my little brother and my little sister that are going to be affected as it continues to expand towards my home. And so we're working really hard to stop it here in Colorado by putting ballot initiatives in place and getting people to vote for it, vote for regulations that will essentially ban fracking here in the state of Colorado.
And, how do you get people to pay attention to the initiative? How do you even get people to have that level of awareness and to get behind it?
At the time when I was most involved in fracking, I was doing educational stuff all the time, like fracking presentations, going to schools, going to community centers, like going and teaching people about this from the perspective of a kid, like not politically invested, not financially invested, but like really just from like the perspective of, yeah, this is my future. You guys are really messing up. We need to stop it now. So you get a lot of community outreach that needs to happen as well. And also there's a lot of communities that are like passively involved, and we just need to get them active. We need to get their petition signed. We need to get their signatures on a petition. We need to get them out door to door, you know, volunteering to help spread this. 2018 is going to be a really important year for political change and kind of overturning a lot of the negative political power or that we have from people that are working to really dismantle a lot of our human rights, the rights of our environment. And so, yeah, we believe that this year can really bring big wins for us, for our movement.
Awesome. So speaking of movements, you're in the front lines of a global youth-led environmental movement. Here you are, 17 years old. Really inspiring. What's the message our youth needs to know? What is the movement about?
It's broad. It's the movement. It's hard. Like, I guess, like, the movement that I've, or I guess the different things that I've fought for and fought to create and bring to fruition with my organization, Earth Guardians, is really working to uplift the generation and give them the tools and the voice and the platform so they feel empowered and powerful in stepping into a place of creating change for the better of future generations, for a more healthy, just, and sustainable planet. The movement is less about a specific issue, more about kind of the uniting and uplifting of an entire generation and connecting with past generations as well, like the intergenerationality of it is another important aspect. But I think you know, if we look at the global climate justice movement right now, we have to really transition towards a place of focusing on solutions, focusing on engaging people power and doing things differently, more creatively, more impactful, more measurable, and really break down a lot of the barriers that we see between ourselves and even ourselves and people within our the own environmental movement, the own climate movement, justice movement. You know, and also build intersectionality within other movements of Black Lives Matter, LGBTQ, like other big social movements that are having an impact and are fighting for really important things. Like, it's all hand in hand. So I think a big focus of this year is really going to be building and tying, connecting those bridges so that we are far more powerful as a greater movement that is not just fighting for change or for stopping a specific issue, but like really for the betterment of our society and of our people's creation of a legacy.
What do you do every day to keep your heart open, to keep the wisdom flowing, to keep yourself grounded? Is there a daily ritual or practice you engage in?
It's hectic. Like, it's really overwhelming, a lot of the work that I do. I like to meditate every day. You know, wake up, brush my teeth, shower, meditate. And like, to stay spiritually grounded and just mentally and emotionally sane, that's super helpful. Like, exercising often is good. And just, like, being outside, like, I don't know, being around good people, like, being around my friends, like, that's super important for me. But also making music.
Making music. And I know I saw your clip from when you were on Bill Maher. What was that experience like for you?
Bill Maher's a trip. He's such a character. It was a great. I mean, it was really grateful. It was like a huge, huge platform. Lots of people recognize and know me from that. And yeah, I feel like it was really interesting. I learned a lot. and it wasn't really, I guess, the orthodox audience or like the usual interviewer. It was interesting. He got some things wrong, pronunciation of my name, yada yada, but like,
right.
not surprised by that. But I think it was a great conversation. It was good to have. I had a positive interaction with him, you know. Like, I didn't leave being like, oh, that guy's a jerk. Like, thought it was cool.
Yeah, I'd agree. No, it was really enjoyable, all of it. And he is a character. I'm right on course with you there. What, you know, I don't know about you, but for me, it seems like every year has its own theme or lesson. And I know we've just recently left the year behind. What was the most important thing that you learned last year that was new for you and was a bit of an awakening that you were called to, or was calling to you, and that you've had to implement in your life?
Growing up was really difficult, and this is going to happen to you really quick. And, and it's like a multi-step process that you have to actually work toward to do it right.
So growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I had to grow up a lot last year. Like, become an adult in a lot of ways that I never had before. It was a really interesting experience. Learning a lot about letting go and impermanence and recognizing, like, energy distribution, like, where you're going to put your energy and your time. Because I want to say yes to everything. I want to do every interview. I want to go and travel to every place and speak to every, you know, community group and go and talk to every, like, middle school student, you know, but it's just, you can't do it all. You got to distribute your energy appropriately so that you're not just out doing, but, like, not really accomplishing anything. That's what I learned, like, because a lot of times I spend a lot of time kind of, like, as a voice and a face for, you know, movements or my organization, and, like, that's actually not where my energy is best spent, you know. I think being out on the road all the time isn't really helpful for the progression of the projects that we're doing. Like, yes, we inspire and we wake up and we get more people involved. Like, 2018, I'm going to be focusing a lot more on, like, grounding the projects that we are involved in and getting people involved in, like, a really big way.
Well, this is big. I really appreciate that you brought this up, because I experience this so much in my life also. How do you have discernment? How do you know now, after having that awakening, about where your energy goes and where your investment goes in your time, how do you know what to say yes to or no to? How do you know what to let go of and what to put your energy into?
Go evaluate how impactful it is to yourself and the people around you. Like, is it really going to make a difference, you know? And is there ways that you can continue to support without having to show up physically? That's what I'm, like, working on, building a really strong Earth Guardians, youth, like, squad that's going to be, you know, really responsible for distributing kind of the responsibilities of being a spokesperson out to the world, you know, and making it much, like, bigger and really showing the world that it's much more than just my my voice, you know.
Truth is, Kat, this is Dare to Dream. What are you next Dare to Dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Yeah, I like that question. Dare to Dream. It's a lot. A lot I want to do and a lot I want to accomplish. And I don't know. I dare to dream that this will really be the year that people take back the power, so we reclaim our sovereignty. As people, that we reclaim our democracy, that we reclaim our leadership, that we don't allow this next 3 years or this next three decades, these next three centuries to be defined by those in places of political power solely, you know. I dare to dream that this year will bring a massive groundswell of creative, diverse, beautiful, celebratory momentum that will wash away the constructs of a broken, dying system and bring forth the beginnings and the continuation of a beautiful legacy that began long before us, and we will continue to pioneer and fight for, so that generations in the future will never have to struggle the way that we have today.
Well, those were the words to your next song. I could tell you right now, those lyrics are beautiful. Reclaim sovereignty, democracy, leadership, and really the massive upswelling into creativity and a healing for all. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really loved having you.
No worries. Appreciate the time.
If you want to learn more about him, go to earthguardians.org. And I end today's show with this quote from Leonardo DiCaprio. Climate change will impact the livability of our planet for future generations. It is our youth, those whose commitment to the causes of sustainability, conservation, and preservation, who will drive the change we so desperately need. Chuta's Katua's art is informing and galvanizing a new movement of leaders who are ready to emerge as our best hope for a brighter future. Well, the guest next up on Dare to Dream Radio and podcast will be Susan Miller, Judith Orloff, Carolyn Mace, Corey Good, and Lynn McTaggart. You can subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And if you want to write a book, email me. I'm a certified coach who ensures you finish your book and write a page-turner and take it to bestseller. I'm at bestseller@debbiedashinger.com. Remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.DebbieDashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.